Welcome to the EFL Podblog. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
So, I'm very pleased to be here today with two comedians. Well, well, they think they're funny anyway. Yeah. So, one with great experience and another one just starting off. Chris, just starting out.
Yep.
So, what was your experience like? How did you feel when you did your first stand-up?
Well, just before, I was a little bit nervous, but when I was on stage, it was okay. The only thing is, it was really weird because I couldn't see the audience. And not seeing the audience, it almost led me to believe that I couldn't hear them.
Ah,
which
right.
Which is strange.
But could you hear us? Because everyone was laughing.
No. It was black. The lights were right in my eyes, and I couldn't hear if people were laughing or not.
Oh, right. Because I know that you told me you were a little nervous beforehand, but you gave no impression of that at all.
Very confident, yeah.
Very confident on stage.
So it's almost like the light dazzled out the sound.
It did. It was really weird. I couldn't believe it could happen, but it was like that, yeah.
Because just to say that we're talking about a club in Toulouse, which is called the Comedy Club.
Yeah, that's right.
Where Andy is the host.
That's
and
right.
He...
Funny Hour,
thank you for giving me the exact title. And when new comedians or anybody wants to try their hand can try their hand.
Mm. So you could try your
hand. Oh, I don't think I could.
We actually need someone for next Wednesday.
Oh, do you? Well,
How do I feel?
Well, I can muscle up a few quick jokes. Well, I can muscle up a few jokes.
Yeah.
As long as I'm dazzled, you know, I can't see anybody. And then, yeah. Well, let's pass on that. So Andy, so
that's a booking.
Yeah, that's a booking.
you have to
ask my agent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll say yeah.
Yeah. So Andy, what was this idea? What inspired you to have this funny hour in English?
Well, I'd actually done this thing called the English Comedy Night about two and a half years ago, and it was a huge success. And I did that a few times until it sort of I did it in this place that got closed down by the mairie, the French local authorities. So I couldn't carry on, you know. Yeah. And I thought, I don't really want to do humour in English. I want to do it in French. I want to export British humour, but do it in French, which is a bit of a contradiction.
That's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah, but I just like the challenge. And then just one day I thought, it's actually easier to do it in English. I think perhaps I'm a bit funnier in English than in French.
But do you find that the audience are more receptive in English than in French, or... do people laugh?
Well, Chris, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's so complicated because you never know who's in.
Mm.
You know, how much of the audience are French, how much of them are English, etc. How, you know, what are they going to actually get?
Mm.
If they're going to understand your jokes or not, it's a really complex thing. Yeah.
Mm. Because I know I'm in the audience at this place. I'm not going on stage. I'm not going anywhere near the stage. But it's
except
for next Wednesday. Yes. but it's interesting. Some people like to tell a story.
Mm.
Anecdotes.
That's right. Yeah.
And they're pretty funny, but I imagine they work on it. Some people, like Chris, like to tell loads of jokes, and I love jokes like that.
One-liners.
Yeah. I love those. And then other people, from what I've seen there, perhaps they haven't quite got the concept of stand-up, which means you've got to be funny to an audience.
Yeah, it's not easy being up on stage and being funny.
This is why I'm not doing it. Yeah.
Because you've got to sort of, you can't really say, I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that. You've got to find something that you know will work, and that's hard.
Preparation,
yeah,
I think.
Some things work really well with a certain audience, and then you do it another night with a different audience, and it doesn't work at all.
So can you change halfway through your set, or do you just carry on?
I do my best to adapt.
Yeah.
But it's not always easy to adapt. You try something else and you realise maybe that isn't working. But you usually after a while I find some routine that seems to be working. Mm. Okay.
And what about? I mean, I like being in the audience, but I'm one of these people that likes to sit on the front row and kind of get picked on, you know? I like that.
Why do you like that? That's most people's, like...
I know. I suppose because I'm halfway on the stage without being on it, I suppose.
Desire to be there, maybe.
But,
yeah, well,
I'm not doing it.
You will be in the front row.
Yeah, I will be on the front row or shouting from the back.
Well, we'll just get you up. Is that enough? You can come on stage.
I really wish I hadn't said that. Anyway, but as you say, some people don't like to be on the front row.
Yeah.
But why do you pick on people?
Because I think the rest of the audience are thinking, oh, you know, thank God that isn't me. And that creates a lot of tension, so they're so happy that it isn't them, and so that they can laugh at.
Oh, nervous laughing, yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And what kind of jokes do you have up your sleeve where you can pick on people?
Oh, you want me to come up with a joke?
No, I don't. No, just like, you know, like, so someone wearing, I don't know, a white shirt. Yeah. I mean, is that funny?
You sort of look at a member of the audience and think, who does this person remind me of?
Okay.
And if you go for some sort of popular reference, you know, maybe it looks like Emmanuel Macron or something
It
could get a joke. Sometimes it's a bit risky. Or if someone's just been in the media, that week for some sort of
ex-murdering
you might get a good laugh at that. You don't want to sort of treat someone like a paedophile.
No.
A lot of comedians do that. I could never do that.
No,
it's too insulting. I don't really like making people uncomfortable.
No,
but could it backfire as well?
Well, it could,
I mean, in as much as if you want to get some interaction from them and they're just totally blank.
Well, that's happened a lot. You just move straight on to somebody else. You think, and they're not into it. They don't want to be picked on. Yeah. You move to someone else. But it could backfire in the sense that they could come out with something funnier than what you've just said.
Oh.
And then you have to say, hey, excuse me, I'll do the joke.
That's a good line, actually.
One of those lines that comedians use.
And now I've got another question for you, expert comedians. So, how often do you change your material?
Why have they been complained?
Just about me then. Right. I've only done two, and I did change it slightly on the second one. And the third one, I'm going to change it again, but I'll probably retain some of the stuff, which I felt got some jokes.
Yeah.
I got some laughs, rather.
You keep the stuff that works generally then?
Yeah. Or what do you think that works? So I don't know what worked in the first one, if it did work. In the second one, you could see them because the venue was slightly different.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Not as good a venue, I don't think, even though I couldn't see anybody or hear anything. It didn't seem to be such a good venue.
But it's getting better.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, for example, I told a joke that not even the English people got.
Including me?
Yes.
And if I don't get it...
And Andy neither.
Oh, right.
But it was at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's it.
it's a, and I know that you're telling English jokes to not an entirely English audience.
Yeah.
So if they don't always get the joke, I think your jokes are very funny.
Thank you.
But but not everyone can understand it, and there are a lot of people going, what's going
on? Really funny, but nobody laughs.
I do. So that's that. And so for your next set. Are you doing stories or?
No. I'm going to do the one-liners, but what I'm going to try and do is to get some themes into it. You know, themes, because what I did in the last two as well, because it's my first two, is I had a bit of paper, which I think was terrible anyway, but I saw other people had them, but that doesn't mean it's good.
You couldn't actually see it, could you, in the second
one? I couldn't in the second one, no. In the first one I could, I just had it on the mic stand, and maybe some people didn't realise that I was actually referring to it. In the second one, I had to read them. But at the same time, I think that I was more reliant on it because I had it there.
Yeah,
I think I could have got through it without it. So what I'm going to do next time is I'm not going to have paper, I'm going to take my glasses off.
We might not recognise you.
You won't recognise me at all.
No trousers.
I'll be incognito.
I have to say that I know you did have a kind of...
Well, I might wear dark glasses like Rockstar.
Yes, absolutely.
And next up is Roy Orbison.
Yeah, that's right. and he really won't be able to see us, yeah. So, but I know you had a little paper... But the thing that impressed me about the good comedians, you included, was a very good speaking voice. And Andy, yes.
And Andy.
Of course, I mean, it's just that goes without saying. But a really good speaking voice, very confident. And so the comedy angle, of course, it's important, it's a joke. But I do think it's the way you tell them, as they say, you know, it's the way you tell them. And I do think, I noticed the second comedy set, people with, they all had very good voices. They all had very good voices, and it seemed to carry us all along.
It's the microphone.
Even when it wasn't particularly funny with some people, I thought. Mm. But I felt relaxed, where some people were telling jokes in the first set, not very confident, and I didn't feel very relaxed, really.
Well, that's it, isn't it? If you sort of come across as not being confident, then you don't inspire the audience, and they're kind of feeling for you, and it's not very good, is he? So even if the joke is quite poor, I think, or you don't believe in it 100%, you've got to create the impression that you know what you're doing, you look confident, and this joke is funny, and then it becomes funny.
Because speaking from the audience's point of view, we're there to have a good time.
Yeah.
So we're not there to be, you know, thinking, oh my God, I'm embarrassed for this person. Yeah. We're there for a drink, a good time, a laugh. So, you know, we don't want to hear anybody's, you know, sort of anxieties.
Yeah, we do cringe sometimes when we watch comedians who are doing it for the very first time, if they're not very good. Because they think they're funny until they go up on stage. And, you know, once you're up on stage, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah. No place to hide.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think you are both very, very, very brave.
Or stupid.
Yeah, that's it. And total admiration.
So, what are you going to do? You're going to do one line or
I'm not doing anything. I'm only there as the person on the front row, so you can see.
Well,
the
opportunities.
You can pick on me
for the bucket list and all that.
I'm not doing it.
I would like to, but the thing what interests me is that you say that you know you like being on the front row, you like being picked on, which is odd because most people don't, but it's like you don't want to go the full hog.
I don't want to go the full hog. Well, mainly I haven't got the jokes for a start.
Well, they're all on the internet.
In that case, I'm on Wednesday night. I'm on.
Okay.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eflpublog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.